Beth Johnson is going to share with us today. Beth, why don't you come on up? And yeah, she is a, she lost her mic. She's a woman filled with the Spirit and really loves people and has a gift to speak, to share. God has really given her that. She's an encouragement wherever she goes and full of life and hope. And you always get stirred to want more of God when you're around Beth. And we just really, really appreciate her. She flew back here from Colorado to be with us this weekend. And so I want to turn her loose. Let's pray right now for Beth as she speaks to us some words from heaven. So Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful woman. And thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've given to her. Thank you for your Spirit that is so strong in her and the anointing you've given to her. Lord, use right now her words to stir us to be closer to you, to know you more, to be filled with you more, and to go for the things that you want us to go for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Wow, worship, the word Sarah had. God has set all of this up this morning. I love that, don't you? I really felt led just to tell you Happy New Year. And you know what's interesting? That's already old news to you, isn't it? And we're only 14 days into the year. And we consider Happy New Year old news. You know, it's interesting, at the beginning of a new year, there's certain things we focus on. A lot of people focus on, all of a sudden, take an evaluation of their food. They take an evaluation of their fitness. They take an evaluation of their finances. And God says, I want you to take an evaluation of your faith. So this morning, we're going to talk about the measure of faith. It's something that everybody in this room has. And some of us, some of you, have not been taking action with your measure of faith. It's really interesting that the Bible teaches us, in fact, let's go to Romans 12:3. Actually, Romans 12:1 and 2 is like some of my favorites about not being conformed to this world, but it leads up to this. It's talking about a measure of faith. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, it's all of us, okay? Not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Then it goes on to talk about we're each members of a body, we each have a purpose, God has given us an assignment. But what I wanted to pull out in beginning this is that God says, first of all, don't think more highly of yourself than you should, because God gave you a measure of faith and he's given you a function with that measure. I did some study, and there's amongst scholars, which I'm not, I do want to be accurate, but there's people that argue whether it's the measure of faith or a measure of faith. I don't care. Every one of us got it, whether it's a measure or the measure, okay? So don't let yourself get split over something like that. Just take responsibility that God says he has dealt to every person faith. Then he goes on in this chapter, which we're not going to go further into, you can read it later, talking about because we all are members of his body and we all have a function, he's asking us to use our faith. In Ephesians 2, I would like you to go there, verse 8 and 9. I'm going to tie these together. This is where he's talking in Romans, it's not talking about the faith to get saved. Ephesians 2 does that. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any of you should boast. You know what's so interesting is the first one said, don't boast. Don't think more highly of yourself than you should. And that's on a measure of faith God gave you. But it is not this saving faith. That was a gift too. So for any of us to come to know the Lord Jesus personally, the Bible says it's by grace that he's given us faith to receive him. So what the Lord has been talking to me about is he goes, Beth, faith is the currency of my kingdom. It's the currency of heaven. And if you're going to be a believer, if you're going to be a follower of the Lord, then you need to use his currency. Have any of you here traveled outside the country? How well does our currency work in other countries? Matt, how well does it work in Africa? Doesn't. It's not very, you can't stay very long in another kingdom, in another culture, in another country with the wrong currency. And I feel like the Lord was kept stirring me and talking to me for weeks. He goes, I want my people to rise up and take hold of their faith. I want them to use what I've given them. Did you know that nobody else will be responsible for how I used my faith but me? Nobody else can take your measure and use it. But you will stand before the Lord, every single person. It says everything in all creation, on the earth, under the earth. It says all will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and give an account. So I'd rather know now about my measure of faith. One thing I want to say on the onset is it says don't think more highly. Everybody has been given a different assignment. How they walk it out, I'll recognize it. I'll see faith in my brothers and sisters. I'll see the fruit of it and say, oh, that's like what I'm believing. But God never compares you. Did you know comparison kills faith? I've been to the Billy Graham Museum a couple times. I highly recommend you go if you haven't. And I cried in almost every room. And it wasn't because I wanted to be Billy Graham. I was in awe of a man who used his measure of faith. We can look and say, wow, but we know behind the scenes it was hard and it was a sacrifice and he had to keep saying yes. But why it kept stirring me was there's somebody saying yes to what God gave them and they ran with it. You know how scripture teaches you that you're to run your race? You're to run the race that's set before you. For those of you who have done marathons, nobody else could run your race, could they? You had your own number, you had your own shoes, you had your own legs, and you had to cross the finish line for you. That's how it is in faith. And so at the beginning of this year, my challenge is to all of us is, God, am I using my measure? For some of you, you're gonna say, where is my measure? I haven't used it forever. For some, it's, God, what I'm doing isn't working. And you know what? He's just been waiting for you to ask. The scripture says Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Did you know that he's not obligated to finish anything he didn't author? And there are things in Beth Johnson's life that she thought were a great idea and she authored them. He was not obligated to finish them. But when I found things weren't working or things were off and I said, Lord, what have I done? He goes, Beth, this isn't what I asked of you. This is what I've asked of you. He's such a good father. But if he's gonna make me responsible for this measure of faith that was given to me, then I better be in communication with him on how do I do this. Have you noticed that in the kingdom, the overall view is if you use what you have, you get more. People say, oh, I want great faith. What are you doing with your faith? I want to cleanse the lepers and raise the dead. Are you praying for headaches? Faith is practicing what God has told us to do. So just remember when he says a measure of faith, for those of you who cook, we have measuring spoons and cups. They're for a purpose, aren't they? Sometimes you need exact measurements. I just want to remind you, God is saying your faith can be measured. I'm going to give you some examples. Luke 17:5. The disciples are saying, increase our faith. It's really interesting because Jesus had just talked to them about forgiveness. And they said, Master, how many times do I have to forgive? And he says, you have to forgive in one day, 7 times 7. Now in Matthew 18:22, it's the harder verse because it's 70 times 7. It's really interesting though. He's telling them what his expectation on them is. And do you know what they say to Jesus? increase our faith. That tells me your faith can be increased. Jesus was asking them to walk in such incredible forgiveness, they had no frame of reference for it. And they said, increase our faith. Mark 9:24 is the story of the man with the epileptic son. He had taken him to the disciples and he didn't get free. He goes to Jesus. And Jesus is inquiring of the man and he says, all things are possible to those who believe. This father says, help my unbelief. That tells me he did believe, but he needed more help with what he couldn't believe. That's using his measure of faith. He stood where he was and asked for more. Matthew 8:10, this is the centurion. If you don't know these stories, read them because they'll stir you up. The centurion comes to Jesus and he needs somebody in his household healed. And he's just saying, Lord, I need you just to speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus like, well, I'll come to you. And he goes, no, just speak the word. I'm under authority and I know what happens when people who are in authority speak something that's done. Jesus says, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. That tells me I can take my measure and I can make it great. These examples are for us to let us know our faith is our responsibility. Luke 8:25, going across to the other side, Jesus says, hey, let's go to the other side. He lays down, goes to sleep. What did he tell his disciples? We're going to the other side. Done, asleep. Storm, they wake him up. They're afraid for their lives, the Bible says. And do you know what he says? Where is your faith? Again, he's asking them, what happened to your measure and where is it? They're responsible. Obviously, faith can be measured. Are you brave enough with me to say, God, how's my faith? Are you brave enough to say, Holy Spirit, you're the one who lives in me, you teach me, you lead me, you guide me, you show me things to come? Will you evaluate where I'm at in faith? I give you permission to create in me a clean heart, to renew in me a right spirit. God, would you, I want a checkup. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, let's go there. This is the hall of faith. It's so interesting. Sometimes people just say the only time they go to use their faith is to get through a terrible situation. Do you know you can use your faith to start a business? You can use your faith to say no to fear and get married. You can use your faith for all kinds of things. It's not just getting out of the storm. But if you're not cultivating and growing your faith, when the storm comes, you'll be saying, I'm going to die. I've been there. I haven't died, but I felt like I was going to. So walking and living by faith requires participation. Did you know that? This is not a spectator sport. Not one person here will get by with saying, well, I watched the kingdom. I watched the pastor preach. I watched that person on TV. No, this is participation only. The Bible says every one of us will stand before the Lord and give an account with what did we do with what he gave us. You don't have to give an account for my life or what I do, but you will give an account for yours. And so it is a participation sport. I mean, it's a life, actually. So Hebrews 11:1. I had just quoted 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Before we back up to verse 1. On verse 6, I've meditated on this a lot. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What I'm not saying is how much God loves you. Pleasing God and God loving you are two separate things. Do not mingle them. God so loved you, what did he do? He gave his only son. He proved his love while we were yet sinners, apart from him, in our wickedness, he showed love. This is not about love. It's about me showing him I value what he's done for me. It says that without faith, Beth, it's impossible to please me. One of the simplest definitions of faith I have adopted for my life is faith is acting like God told you the truth. You read it, God didn't lie to you. He says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do all things. Did you know that faith is not a feeling? Very rarely do my feelings line up with my faith. And if you're waiting to feel loved, if you're waiting to feel empowered, if you're waiting to feel like obeying, you will wait your entire life. Faith says, God, you said it. I believe it and I'll do it. So go back to Hebrews 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. This is not so much a definition of faith as it is telling you what faith does. It's a function of faith. First of all, it's a description that now. Have you noticed faith is always in the present tense? I can tell you stories that I believed God and what happened that have already happened and it took faith. But in your current situation, in your current life, faith is always now. Not someday, I hope. When I'm in that situation of, I just hope someday I get a breakthrough, I'm not in faith. I'm wanting to be, and I'm not criticizing myself, you guys, but I'm saying it's a good indication I'm not in faith, but when I'm like, oh God, you promised that you are for me, who can be against me? God, you said that you're the glory and the lifter of my head and your shield round about me. It says that if you're for me, who cares who's against me? That's faith. When all the circumstances say one thing and I take what God says and says, God, you said. That's a barometer of faith. So it says faith is now, it's current. It's a substance, which really comes from a Greek word that means you're standing under something. It's a guaranteed title deed, you already possess it. And our brain says, no. I'm believing God for something I don't possess. Faith says, I have it. I see it before I ever have it. God, you said your joy is my strength. Well, guess what? I don't say that the joy of the Lord is my strength when I feel strong. When do I say the joy of the Lord is my strength? When my strength is about ready to give out. When I feel like I can't go another step, I say, oh God. See, faith says, God, you're so much smarter than me. And this is what you said, so this is what I'm gonna do. I had an incredibly hard day this week. It was overwhelming, and I had to keep in faith every 15 minutes. I'm not exaggerating, every 15 minutes. I can do this, because God said I could do it. Did you know that God will never lead you where he won't go? The enemy lies to you and makes you believe God's asking you to do this and he's gonna wait back and grade you on it. God says, never will I leave you or forsake you. So it was really interesting in this real difficult afternoon. I was like, huh, I need some strength, I need some joy. So I went outside of the building of where I was working and I tried to find a place nobody could see me. That's kind of hard. But where there were no windows and all that, and I started jumping. And I started jumping. I was jumping up and down. And I said, oh, there goes my mic. I didn't have a mic on then. I said, God, you said your joy is my strength. I have no strength, but you said this. I am jumping for joy. I'm your girl. I live by faith, and this is what you said. And so what happens is that pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So here he saw his daughter. Wow, she's crazy. No, I believe he said, she believes me. She believes me. In the midst of a really tough time, she's picking what I said instead of what she feels. She picked what I said instead of what she sees. That's for all of us. When we were born again, we were born into a new kingdom that is run on faith. We all live in a world that steals it from us every single day. I'll believe it when I see it. That's not faith. It's, I believe it and then I'll see it, God. The Bible says that you and I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We proclaim that when we can't see. God, you said you'd give me eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand your will. God, you said I was created to know your will. You say that when you don't know his will. That's faith. That's taking what he said, pulling it from his realm, pulling it from what he promised into your world. I haven't found any shortcuts, you guys. I have tried. Asked him, I'm the shortcut queen, if there's a faster way to get somewhere. Hey, could we just cut across town instead of go around? But there's no shortcut in faith. None. Absolutely none. So in this whole hallmark of faith, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Remember light be. God spoke and it came. Whose image are we created in? How often are we going to have to speak something before we see it? He didn't ask us to make it up. There's a ton of promises in here. We sing that awesome song, all your promises are yes and amen. I love that, but am I saying his promises? The Bible says God watches over his word to perform it. He hastens to perform his word. He says it's just like the rain and the snow is not sent to the earth, but it accomplishes, it has a purpose when he sends it. He goes, so shall my word be. It will not return to me void. So if we're not using his word, if we're not standing in faith, how do we grow our measure? So here we have this story, by faith Abel did this, by faith Enoch did this, by faith Noah did this, by faith Abraham. Why I want to rest on him is he's the father of faith. The Bible says that he was counted faithful. I had a friend text me this week, how come Abraham was counted faithful when he was a liar? Faith rewrites your story. I promise you. When we've gotten it wrong and we ask God to forgive us, he makes it right. We are known by what we get right. We're known by how we finish. And that's faith. Did you know, and I felt like the Lord told me this morning, there's some people that have totally not used faith in forgiveness. You have not forgiven yourself. What God has called cleansed and forgiven, you have called dirty and you have called unworthy and you've agreed with the enemy. And I will tell you the one thing that I've learned that changed my life was if you believe a lie, you will live a lie. So if there's an area of your life, like you haven't truly received forgiveness and found out that you're a daughter or son of the Most High, that you're seated in heavenly places. Did you know I wasn't taught growing up, the church didn't teach me that I was a co-heir with Jesus. I was the scum of the earth, just a wretched me. I was wretched, but then he made me righteous. So if you live out of wretched, that's all you'll get. But if you live out of what he promised, that you're righteous, that's what you'll get. And the importance of that is you have to live out your identity by faith. You cannot live it by how you feel. Please don't ever let your circumstances tell you who God is. You let God tell you who he is. You let his word tell you who he is. But you will live not by faith. You will live by feelings and circumstances and what he said and what she said based on not believing truth. Did you know truth always sets you free? Faith and truth are intertwined. The Lord told me, said you cannot separate those. And there are people that are struggling to be in faith over their health, over their finances, over relationships because they're not believing the truth. It's not because faith doesn't work for them. But I've noticed people will call or they'll text and email, they'll want prayer. Please pray for me. My life is, And there's times I've said, you don't need prayer. You need truth. Yes. Because what happens is if we don't uncover the lie you're believing, you'll keep perpetuating that same lifestyle. Faith and truth go like this, and truth always brings freedom. Always. That's the nature of what God said. So when we look at these lists, would you put your name in that hallmark, that hall of faith? By faith, Beth, what? By faith, Tim, what? Right now, if you had to write on a slip of paper, and nobody else saw it but you and Jesus, because he knows I'm asking you this, what are you doing by faith? If you're living your life where you can just manage everything, you can pretty much predict everything, or even if something unpredictable happens, you're fine with it because you've planned it all out, I'm gonna suggest you're not living by faith. Can you list one or two things in your life right now that you absolutely know if God doesn't show up, you're sunk? So remember where I said faith isn't supposed to be compared. I love being inspired by people's stories. I love reading what Heidi Baker does. You know, she walks down a little dirt road and meets a leper, and she squeezes their hand, and literally her hand goes through their molten flesh. And God says, stomp on their foot and I'll heal them. And she stomps on their foot and they scream and they're instantly healed because lepers can't feel. Okay, like that, I go, whoa, that's cleansing the lepers. I want to do that. But God hasn't asked me to cleanse a leper yet. I'm inspired by that, but I'm not going to sit in my seat and say, well, because I'm not Heidi Baker, I'm not going to live by faith. There are people in this room that God's asking you to take a meal to your neighbor, and you're refusing, and it takes faith. That's your measure, and God's saying, please, I've asked you, take this to your neighbor. You have no idea why God wants you to do it, so you're afraid, and you won't. Everybody's measure is different, and everybody's assignment is a little different. I'm so inspired by faith stories, and when I'm weak in faith, when I'm trembling, I will start reading other people's stories. God, look what you did. Look how you showed up. I get so inspired when he says, I'm the God of the impossible. Well, when I'm surrounded by everything not working, I need to start reading on what is working. It inspires me. It stirs me to say, oh God, I can believe. If you showed up for them, you'll show up for me. That's why testimonies are important. And this week my sister had called me and she goes, I want you to look up George Mueller and start reading his testimonies. And I knew about George Mueller and I really love what he contributed, how he walked out his faith. And God hasn't asked me to do that. But by reading his stories, and he lived, let's see, 1805 to 1898. He was an evangelist and he was the director of an orphanage. Took care of over 10,000 orphans in his lifetime, which is huge in that date and time. And he established 117 schools. And there's this faith that came out of him out of relationship, because people will say, well, how do I, Beth, you keep saying I need faith. You say God gave it to me, but I need to use it. Do you know how faith grows? It says, wait, first I'll go, how does it grow? Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says. And hearing comes from the word of God. And I'll get back to George Mueller. I want to read a story about him. But he was a man that spent time with God. God, what? Oh, you did this, God? Then you know what I have need of. I just petition you, Lord. And he spent time. Do you know that you won't obey somebody you don't trust? And it's really hard to obey God in faith if you don't trust him. And trust is developed through relationship. So getting to know God through the word is so very important. What I find is sometimes, Romans 10:17 is where it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I want you to know that there's no lack of faith. It's what you're doing with it. So God, I have my measure and I want to develop it. So I want to hear what you're saying. If we had time today and I asked people for testimonies of when you knew you heard the Lord, Have you noticed you remember where you were, what car you were driving, what street you were on, and you had faith to totally believe what he said? That kind of hearing is developed by the word of God, by fellowshipping with him, that you know, hey, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. He didn't say you wouldn't hear other voices, did he? He says a stranger's voice you will not follow. It means you'll hear it, but you develop such an appetite and ability to hear his voice. The other ones, nope, not gonna follow, not gonna follow. So Galatians 2:20, I think this is important because it says we're crucified with Christ and we no longer live. I just wanna read this to you. For I've been crucified with Christ. Anybody who calls Jesus their Lord, somebody that you've said yes to him. It's no longer Beth that lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, in this world, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. And it's saying, Beth, your faith was resident in you when you identified with Christ. And it's so interesting, 2 Peter 1:1 says that we've obtained a like precious faith. Peter is writing and he's telling you, hey guys, we have the same faith. We have a like precious faith. And again, if you study that out in the Greek, it means we have the equal, same value and honor of faith. Do you know what Peter did with his faith? Read Acts 9, if you can, later. He raised Dorcas from the dead. Acts 5, he had shadow healings. He says, you have the same like precious faith. So I'm like, what am I doing with mine? What am I doing with mine? So all in all, I just want to remind you, the just shall live by faith. The Bible says that. It's my job to live by faith. It's my job to figure out how it works in my life. I get so inspired by your faith and your stories, but I have to figure out how it works in my life because I will give an account to the Lord for that. And God's not gonna ask everybody to pack up and move across country and start something new, but he will ask you to forgive a family member who doesn't deserve to be forgiven. He will ask you to give away your savings when you were saving for something you wanted. He will ask you to use your faith in ways that you didn't want to. So what I've learned about faith, faith doesn't exist without surrender. Surrender means I say, God, I give you control. Lead me, guide me, teach me, show me. True, authentic, great faith that this centurion had comes through surrender. I've also learned that God's opinion matters the most. It's none of my business what other people think of me. If I'm gonna walk by faith, I can't be dissuaded by people's evaluation on my life. If Jesus is the author and the finisher, I have to make sure that I'm involved in things he authored so we can see him to the finish. And I have done so many things that were just a good idea Beth had, and God didn't condemn me, he didn't kick me out of the family, and he didn't shame me. He just said, I never asked you to do that. So I get out of what I'm doing and go on, right? This is how we learn. This is how we learn. Faith always acts. It always has motion. It always has activity, even if it's just standing. In the face of adversity, faith does not shrink back. And if I can't do anything but stand, that is my act of faith. And the Bible says, having done all you know to do, continue to stand. That's my part. That's what you and I get to do. Another thing I've learned about faith is there is no mountain faith can't move. And all it takes is a mustard seed. I don't have to have Heidi Baker faith. I have to have Beth Johnson faith. God's not asking me to move somebody else's mountain. He's asking me to move mine. And can I tell you, this is why we're a body. If you go back to the very first scripture I read and it talks about all of us having a measure of faith and all having function, there are times I call Or I show up at somebody's door and say, I need to borrow your faith. Can you stand with me? And I get strengthened, you guys. I am not afraid to ask. So that's, we're all a part of a body. Every part supplies the other. But nobody can stand for me, but they can stand with me. There's a difference. The other thing I've learned about faith is you can live your whole life and live outside of God's purpose for you. It's your choice. God still loves you. He won't control you. But if you're going to live the purpose that he gave for you in faith, you have to participate. I will also tell you what I've learned about faith is nobody can walk out mine, and some of the loneliest places I've ever been is when my faith is being challenged the most. Because my husband can't do it for me, my kids can't do it for me, but God's enough. And when he's transforming you, it takes faith to be transformed into his image. It takes faith to go from glory to glory and faith to faith. You have to let him shape you. The other thing I've learned about faith is it's contagious. Have you noticed that? Your faith is contagious. And this is what I'm going to leave you with, because I had never seen this, and I know that the Lord gave me this, and it's in Matthew 20, if you want to turn this. Turn here, there. I felt like, and this goes with the word David had, it made my heart smile. I felt like the Lord said, there will be people listening today that will say, I've blown it. I haven't lived by faith. I haven't walked by faith. I haven't used my measure of faith. And God says to you, what you do today matters. And he took me to this parable, and when I read it, I wept. I hope it comes across how he wanted it. It's the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And for time's sake, I'll just kind of skim over it. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, why have you been standing idle all day? And they said, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers, give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when they came, when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat all day. But he answered to one of them and said, friend, am I doing you no wrong? I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your own way. I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your evil, is your eye evil because I'm good? So the last will be first and the first shall be last. Many are called, but few are chosen. Early one morning, the Lord had me go read this, and he said, I want you to tie this to faith, because there's gonna be people listening that have done nothing with their faith. They've kept it out here. Oh, I'll do that later. I'll do it when I'm older. I'll do this. And he goes, I want you to know, and I wept when I read this, that we serve such an amazing God. Such a gracious, kind God that would give the same reward to somebody in the last hour that he gave to me, who has walked by faith her whole life. And I said, I can serve a God like that, that's so kind and gracious that if you say yes to your measure of faith, you say yes to what God has for you, you get the same reward. But if you don't say yes, that's on you. But God wanted you to know his heart. He wanted you to know his heart for you, that faith is now. And whatever you came with, whatever you haven't done, you can lay it down and say, I want to live by faith. I want to be a daughter or son of the Most High. I want people to recognize I use the currency of heaven. I want my faith to be contagious. And because I live full and free and by faith, it's a domino effect. And everybody who comes in contact with me is going to be activated or longs to walk by faith. But don't you dare let the enemy lie to you and say, you've blown it too much, you're too old, you have nothing left to do. Because if you believe that lie, you will live it and you will regret it when you stand before the Lord and realize you had so many more opportunities. Amen? So the just shall live by faith. Who's gonna live by faith? Can I pray for you? Father, thank you that your word is true. Thank you that you love us. And you've never given up on us. And it's not about perfect performance. It's about willingness. It says that we're in charge of wanting to do your will. So God, I ask that you continue to give us the will to want to do your good pleasure. That everybody here will say, what's my measure of faith and how do I use it? I just come against comparison and lies and all of that that keep back from the people back from the fullness of what you have. But I just say, Holy Spirit, I ask that you stir them to faith upon faith. And Lord, I believe with all of my heart, today can change everything when somebody says yes to you. Father, I ask that businesses are birthed. I ask that new lives are birthed. I ask that people who have been afraid to have children will say yes to children. People who are afraid to get married because they're believing a lie would take up faith and say, I want to be married. It's God's will for me. Father, I believe with all of my heart that you've begun a good work in these people and in me, and you will complete and perfect it as long as we keep showing up and saying yes. Teach every one of us what faith looks like, what our measure is, and how we bring you pleasure by using what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.